Kenosha County Aging and Disability Resource Center. Benefit specialists help navigate Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and other benefit programs. Their services are free and confidential. Call 262-605-6646 for more info.
This is WGTDHD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Guida Brown, former executive director of the Hope Council, Dr. Steve Brown, retired professor of educational leadership and school law, Dr. Karen Sconsert, chair of the education department and associate professor at Carthage College, Dr. Jonathan Shaler, professor of communications at UW Parkside, and Stephanie Skilba, vice president for community and government relations at Gateway Technical College. And now, here's today's moderator for Education Matters.
Hello, I'm Karen Sconsert, and this is Education Matters. 2025 is a new year, and many people have New Year's resolutions to volunteer and donate more in the new year to help others in their communities who are less fortunate. Well, we have you covered today. We're talking with three staff members of the United Way of Kenosha County who will tell us about services they offer in the community in case you need them or in case you would like to help offer those services. So our first guest is Carolyn Frisch, who has been the Chief Executive Officer at United Way of Kenosha County since 2021. With more than a decade of experience in leadership, fundraising, and relationship development, Carolyn is passionate about creating positive change and improving lives in the community. One of her favorite activities is volunteering with her 9-year-old daughter, Madeline. So welcome, Carolyn.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Okay, and our next guest is Javon Clausen, Senior Director of Community Impact Operations. Javon has served the people of Kenosha County for over 23 years with a really diverse background that includes law enforcement, inmate advocacy, and public health. With a passion for outreach to those who are underserved, Javon is a member of many community-based coalitions and groups that work to improve the lives of Kenosha residents. In her spare time, she enjoys hiking and traveling, as well as spending time with family. Welcome, Javon.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Okay, and then our third guest is Sierra Dlamini. Sorry about that, thank you. Okay, Director of Resource Development. Sierra is a dedicated professional with a passion for helping and serving others, a commitment that has guided her throughout her diverse career. In her career, she spent years in property management and served as a chaplain in the Army Reserves. She recently moved to Kenosha with her family, and with her passion to service landed in the nonprofit space, working at Kenosha Area Family and Aging Services, and now the United Way of Kenosha County. Welcome, Sierra.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Okay, so as I said at the beginning, a lot of people have resolutions at this time to maybe do some really meaningful things with any spare time or possibly even spare money they have. So our goal here today is for residents of Kenosha County who would like to volunteer or otherwise give to know some really great options they can use through United Way of Kenosha County. So we're going to start with the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program. Who is telling us about that?
Hi, it's Javon. United Way's VITA program offers free tax preparation services to individuals and families who earn less than $67,000 a year. We're really proud of this program. Over the years, it's brought back over $21 million into the hands of families who need it the most here in Kenosha County.
Okay, that sounds like a great thing. So tell us a little bit more about how this works. I know you rely on volunteers. What do the volunteers do for this program?
Sure, so there's a variety of roles that our volunteers do. We have people who greet taxpayers as they come in and arrive. We have translators who are bilingual and help our clients with that. We have, of course, tax preparers. We have two types of tax preparers, basic and advanced tax preparers. And then we have interviewers who screen the taxpayers, ask them the questions on the forms, and get all of that information together for the tax preparers.
So there's actually a role. So you do not yourself have to have a lot of experience doing tax preparation in order to volunteer in this program.
Yeah, no, you need no experience at all. No prior tax knowledge is necessary. We will train you on all of that. There is some required training, but we get you through it and make sure that you're well trained by the time we're done.
So how often do you offer that training and when is it offered?
Sure. So tax season is here now. So our training actually begins this weekend, or tonight actually, I think, is our first training. And then our beginners volunteers training is on Saturday. And so we train all through the month of January, giving people different dates and times and opportunities, whether it's virtual or in person, to train.
So if they wanted to do this, they would get in touch with you, Javon? Is that the best way, or is there a sign-up thing on the website for United Way?
Sure. On our website, there is a VITA volunteer application and background form that volunteers fill out. And as soon as they fill that out, we reach out to them and get them started.
Oh, that sounds great. Okay, so United Way, what is the website address exactly?
KenoshaUnitedWay.org.
Okay, KenoshaUnitedWay.org. So tell us, so this might seem like probably something that people who just, you know, love to do their own taxes, or maybe they pay someone to do it, they never thought of this as being a vital service. But I bet it is kind of life-changing for people. Can you tell us a little bit about a family or an individual who really benefited a lot from this service?
Sure. Maybe not a family as much as just understanding the clientele that we serve. 49% of our clients in a survey state that they are struggling to pay their bills. 37% say that they can't even save for retirements, and that they're struggling to choose between groceries and medicines. And so this service that we provide helps them realize the tax credits that they didn't know that they were eligible for, and puts the refund that they've earned in their hands and helps them be able to not have to make those horrible decisions between, you know, being able to pay your bills or feed your children. And so VITA also provides educational material, so financial educational material, so that once those funds are in the taxpayer's hands, that they can make smarter decisions with their money and help it go further. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So that is a really compelling way of framing it for potential volunteers. So yeah. I hope that's inspiring to some people. So again, you don't need prior experience. There are roles in this service that don't even have to do with actually doing the taxes, just greeting people and getting them to the right place. I assume that you need some help with people who speak Spanish, but are there any other language groups that you're looking for? Because there might be some listeners that speak other languages.
We welcome all people that speak other languages. We never quite know who's going to walk through the door. And so anybody who speaks another language and wants to join us in this vital service, we welcome you. Please fill out the interest form and we will get right back to you.
Okay. That's kind of what I figured. So I just wanted to make sure people understood that. I think Kenosha County in particular, because of its proximity between Milwaukee and Chicago, has many more language groups represented than people even realize. I know from working with the public school system that there are many, many languages represented, sometimes over 30 or 40. So that means that those languages are represented among the families who are paying their taxes. So if you have language experience from whatever, it might be worth, at least being able to greet people in that language so they feel welcome, right? Absolutely. Okay, well, that's great. All right, so I did not ask you how much time would it take if people committed to this? Like, how do they have to work full-time or something during tax season? Or, you know, when are the times they need to be free?
Sure. So typically average time that a volunteer is somewhere between 2 to 4 hours a week. We welcome, if you want to volunteer more hours, you can. If you want to volunteer less, we're very flexible with our scheduling. We have multiple sites throughout the county and daytime hours and evening hours. So there's a spot for everybody to come and join the fun.
Okay, great. That sounds wonderful. All right. Let us move on to the Readers Are Leaders program, and I'm sure we will circle back to the VITA at some point as well. There's actually three different reading programs that Sierra is going to tell us about. So give us a little bit of background. What are some things that you're offering around reading, which might be another opportunity for listeners to volunteer?
Absolutely. Thank you. So yes, we do have three different initiatives that I wanted to speak about today. And I'll start with the one that you mentioned, Readers Are Leaders. Readers Are Leaders is a literacy tutoring program led by United Way of Kenosha County and has been around for about 10 years now, which is exciting. And we do this in collaboration with Kenosha Unified School District, and we were able to expand the program this year. And we're serving over 100 students in 6 schools, and we have over 100 volunteers. So to give you a little background, when it started in 2014, there was only one pilot school that was serving 45 students. So it's really come a long way, and I'm truly passionate about the program and want to continue to see it excel and grow even further. So this program, it's geared towards students from kindergarten to grade 2. We do have a few third graders in there as well. But these students are approaching grade level proficiency, and they're likely to get there with just a little extra support. So the Readers Are Leaders program is there to give them some one-on-one tutoring to help guide them and to push what their teachers and the programming and curriculum is already doing. So it's giving them a little extra support there. So that's a little background about Readers Are Leaders. The next program that I'd like to highlight or initiative is Read Across Kenosha. Read Across Kenosha will have its 15th annual event this year, and that will be on March 6th, and that's in conjunction with the National Education Association's Read Across America. A lot of people understand like, oh, they, you know, recognize that. So Read Across Kenosha, at this one-day event, there's a book selection that is that has diverse authors and titles, and we get this list of books from the National Education Association's recommendations, as well as suggestions from the Kenosha Unified School District. So we work with them to put together this list of books, and we are looking to go into 200 classrooms this year and to have over 200 volunteers. So that's reading to, goodness, I don't even know how many students if you think about how many kiddos are in a classroom. So it has amazing reach, and these volunteers get to go in, make connections to the students, laugh with them, engage with reading and literacy. And I'm super excited to be a part of that this year. And we also get to gift the classroom with 2 books for their classroom library. So we're also giving back to the classrooms who participate.
Okay, so both of those sound like things for, especially for people with some spare time. Maybe they take the kids to school and they have a little extra time. They could schedule one of those Readers as Leaders things once a week, or maybe retirees who wanted to do that. Maybe some college students.
Right? Absolutely, yes. Absolutely.
So there's a lot of opportunities, yeah.
Yes, we welcome anyone. And what I love about Readers Are Leaders is you're just reading to the students for 30 minutes one day out of the week. So it's really, you know, it doesn't take much time, maybe an hour total when you, you know, count in driving there and back, getting out. So it's really low impact on that end. And Read Across Kenosha is even shorter. It's one morning. We got a 30-minute kickoff in the morning at 8 a.m. And then you go read to your students for about 20, 30 minutes. And then you have the rest of your day. And you feel fulfilled. And you've had this awesome opportunity to connect with these kids and teachers. So I think it's a great opportunity.
Wow, that does sound great. We'll get a little bit more about the training for these things, but let's hear about Imagination Library first.
Yes, we can't forget about Imagination Library. Now, this initiative was created by Dolly Parton in 1996, so they're coming up on 30 years. And she created this to foster the love of reading in children and to promote early childhood literacy. So all participating children in this initiative from birth to 5 years of age will receive a free age-appropriate book, and it's mailed directly to the children's home every month. So once they enroll, the books just come every month and then get a new book. And what I love about this program is Dolly Parton's mission, her vision, rather, to foster the love of reading among preschool children by providing them access to books regardless of their family's income. And I think that's so important to remember that all kids should have the right and the availability to read, to grow the love of reading, and to foster literacy in every home, and how these kids are our future. So we really want and stand behind Dolly Parton's vision in that. And we currently have 625 kiddos that are enrolled, and we've had many that have graduated, meaning they started at some point and went all the way up until they were five, and kept getting those books and graduated. So it's great to see this program to continue to grow as well.
Okay, and I'm going to ask some more questions, but I'm just going to briefly do a reintroduction for the people who may have joined us later. So you are listening to WGTD HDFM. I'm your host, Karen Sconzert, and this is Education Matters, this discussion of New Year community giving opportunities through the United Way of Kenosha County is archived at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page. You are invited to listen again, or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion there. So those are three different possible ways that people can volunteer or give around reading with young children in our community. So Imagination Library, that sounds like something that you enroll people in. Is there a volunteer opportunity there or a giving opportunity there?
There is definitely a giving opportunity there. If you think about it, how many books these kiddos are getting in a year, if we had, let's say everyone that's listening right now, donate $30, this could provide one kid with the books that they need for a year. And if you multiply that by everyone, just that small amount could really go far. And currently we are serving in six different zip codes, and we'd love to offer this and more in the Kenosha community. So in order to do that, we really need people to stand beside us and get alongside this vision that Dolly Parton started so many years ago to get these kids books to continue to learn, grow, shape their futures in education, and just support their literacy journeys.
Mm-hmm. So I think whenever I hear about this, because I know this is a really popular program nationwide, and what a vision that Dolly Parton had, right?
Yeah.
I think always about little ones who, you know, might not necessarily have the most stable housing situation, or even just, you know, are struggling the way Javon earlier explained to decide between food and, you know, medicine or food and heat or whatever. They're not going to have the opportunity to go to the Barnes & Noble and pick out one of those adorable board books, but it comes to them in the mail every month.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I cannot imagine how exciting it must be for the entire family when that book arrives in the mail, right? Everyone wants to gather around and find out what the book is. Everyone is anxious to read it to the little one or have it read to them. And they can have a whole collection of these, maybe a basket where they keep all their books, or a bookshelf or whatever, or a drawer, and how exciting for them. So it's a really tangible thing. And I think we know there's a lot of research that says just exposure to print and to books, the idea of turning the pages and seeing what's going to happen by the end of the book, memorizing and reciting those things, talking about the illustrations, those are all pre-reading activities. And the more books you have, the more you are able to practice. So I would hope that someone's listening to this and says, I can do $30 a year to celebrate one child, right?
Yes,
so let's hope that it has that effect. Okay, so Imagination Library is more of a giving opportunity. So volunteering sounds like you can do either of the other two programs, the Readers Are Leaders and Read Across Kenosha. So can you tell us a little bit about how someone would go about volunteering for those and the kinds of training that they would receive?
Yes, absolutely. So Readers Are Leaders, I kind of mentioned a little bit, but this one, so you're basically saying for the school year, once we start and kick off, can begin in October, November, and we run the program through May. So you're committing from that time frame once a week for 30 minutes that you're going to go and meet with your assigned kiddo. So we have that program and then Read Across Kenosha, which say, you know, you're not sure if you can commit. I know I've had many volunteers, you know, wanting to come back and that have come back for years, 3, 4, 5 years. And a few of them have said, oh, well, you know, I have this big trip and it's going to take a couple of months. So I'm going to take the year off and just be a floater, or I'll, you know, keep me on the list for next year. But they're interested in doing Read Across Kenosha. That's just a one-day event, one morning, 30 minutes for the kickoff, and then just the 20, 30 minutes reading to the kids. So very short, easy to get involved with that one.
Right. And I'm sure you end up meeting the other volunteers and sort of seeing how big our community really is and how open and helpful people can be. Right?
Oh my goodness, yes. We have literally the best volunteers. I can't tell you how many that have more than just one Readers Are Leaders student. Some prefer to have 4 or 5 kids, and they're like, is someone missing? I'll grab them. If they're back to back, just give me, I'll do an hour of reading. And I mean, they really pencil it into their schedules, and it's a whole community. If someone's like, oh, I'm out sick, they'll say, okay, I'll grab your kid today. And they really support each other. And that has been just amazing to see.
Mm-hmm. That sounds great. So for that Readers Are Leaders program, that's a little bit more of a commitment. So is there some training? Because I'm sure, you know, most people, especially if they're grandparents, they've probably read to kids, but is there something more to it than just reading, and is there some training involved?
Yes, there is. So you don't have to come with any prior training. No knowledge prior is needed. And we do have training, and we do this with the Kenosha Unified School District, their staff. So this year we had Rachel Conrad, which she's a teacher consultant for reading and math intervention. So she comes in and she goes through all of the materials that we use, the materials that help us to get those together. So everything is tied into their curriculum. So we're not going against anything that the teachers are doing. It's alongside what the teachers are doing. And she's done an amazing job with breaking down everything in that pocket folder that you need, how to utilize it, how to speak with your student, how to engage with them, how to connect with them. So all of that is given to us in an in-person training. And then we also in turn have those in virtual materials too.
Good. That sounds great. So how often does this training happen? Is it just at the beginning of the year, or do you take people in the middle of the year, or how does that work?
Sure. So it does happen just once in the beginning. So I've had many people that could not attend to that one session that looked at the virtual materials. We also have plenty of people that return. Some of them want to come to the in-person ones just to engage with the other volunteers, and others are like, I'll just review the materials. You know, I've got it. For the new people that come in afterwards, I give them an extensive list of each school, what they have laid out. So when they're coming in on that first day, we can alleviate some of that anxiety about what's going on, what am I doing? And then they have those virtual materials. And there's also school coordinators that we work with. So every school has a designated coordinator that's there to support them as well. And they have all been truly amazing at helping all of the tutors as they're coming in to feel welcomed, to feel supported, and to help guide them with any questions that they have.
Okay, so let's maybe walk through a volunteer day. So not day, out half hour, whatever it is. Mm-hmm, they go to their assigned school and they mm-hmm. check in at the main office, right?
Yep.
And then what happens?
They'll grab their tutor ID and then they'll go to wherever their students, wherever they keep the pocket folders and that their information there. So they'll pick up whatever color their student has. So they'll already have that information ahead of time. And then they will go to their student's classroom. Their teachers will know just by looking at you which student is there for the tutoring session. And that student will walk out. And most of the schools, they have designated areas, so you'll know where you're going, whether that's the library. Some schools even have like little Readers Are Leaders stickers on the outside with tables, designated spaces for them to sit. You'll sit down, you'll talk to your student for a little bit. How was your weekend? How was your winter break? They'll go over those things and then they'll get into the materials in the pocket folder. The students also come out with a bag of books. So I know some of them will want to read or show their tutor what they've been working on in class, and then you have some time to go over the materials, work on writing, reading, and I mean that 30 minutes flies, and you take the student back, and then you check out at the main office.
Wow. Okay, so really, truly, it would go by so quickly. I'm sure that's why you have mm-hmm. volunteers that decide they want more than one student.
Right? Yes.
Right. Do people work with the same student for multiple years? Does that ever happen?
Oh, it does. When I started, Readers Are Leaders recruitment was just beginning, and I had so many people saying, oh, I had so-and-so at this school. Can you see if they're there again? Even Carolyn was looking for a student from last year. So it's, you know, people really do... they really do cherish these moments with these kids, and they get invested in them. They see their progress and they want to continue to see them, you know, grow. So they really do look for those kiddos.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That does sound great. And then just a quick reminder about the March 6th is the date this year for Read Across Kenosha. Is that mm-hmm. correct? What day of the week is that?
It's a Thursday.
It's a Thursday. Okay.
Yes, so at 8 a.m.
So for that and for any of these other things, where on the website can they find the places to sign up for these?
Yes, if you go to our website, there is at the top a section that's called Our Impact. And right there on the left-hand side, you'll see all of our education initiatives. So you can click on Readers Are Leaders. You can click on Read Across Kenosha, the Imagination Library. All of those things are listed right there. And when you go to the page, you'll be able to see where you can donate and where you can click to register or do your interest form to volunteer.
Is there a general phone number for United Way of Kenosha County so that if people feel like, oh, I'm not so clear on how to sign up for things on a website, what would the number be?
We do have a number, and I need to have that memorized.
It's okay. Hi, most of us don't have those numbers memorized anymore. Devon, do you know what it is?
I do. Okay. I do. It's area code 262-658-4104.
Right. Everyone that was listening to that, you all know what we're talking about. We don't, we all have those numbers in our phones now. So now you have it. If you don't feel like going to the website, you can call that number. And we will put it in the show notes as well. So if you, well, that would be on the website. So never mind. We'll say it again at the end. Okay, Carolyn? All right, so I'm going to take a quick reintroduction break here, and then we're going to hear a little bit more about community investment and also about the warm clothing drive. So you are listening to WGTD-HDFM. I'm your host, Karen Sconzert, and this is Education Matters. This discussion of New Year community giving opportunities through the United Way of Kenosha County is archived at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page. You're invited to listen again there, or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in the discussion there. Okay, so community investment. What is that specifically, and what can you tell us about it? I'm not sure.
Sorry, this is Javon.
Sorry, it's okay.
So on an annual basis, the United Way fundraises.
Yeah.
Yes. And then we then take the money that we fundraise and redistribute it back out into the community through a competitive grant process called the Community Investment. There is a committee called the Community Investment Committee that is made up of local volunteers, and those volunteers review the grant applications, evaluate the programs, and then recommend funding to our board of directors.
Wow, that is a really great opportunity. So for people who've maybe served on other boards or have some sort of background in finance or in services, that would be a good opportunity for them?
Absolutely, but we will teach anybody who to learn how to review grant applications, to fairly score and understand the grant process, and also help if they're unaware of the community needs, help educate them on the needs of the community so that we're funding programs that are going to make the biggest impact in our community.
Okay, that sounds really interesting. So if people wanted to volunteer for that, first of all, who do they get in touch with, but also how much time does it take?
Sure. So they can get in contact with me. They can go through our website, and or they can call that number at the United Way, 262-658-4104. And ask for me, Javon, and I will be able to help them. The time commitment is about 5 to 10 hours a month for March, April, and May. That is when our grants close, and then the review process begins. And so that would be them reading the grants, reviewing the scoring, and then meeting together to determine how the funds are distributed throughout the community. And then a couple of more hours in the fall when the committee goes and visits all the funded programs and checks on how they're doing and gets to learn about the impact that's being made in the community.
Right. And I think one of the things that these programs have, and I like this one in particular because it seems like it's a way for people with prior leadership experience to apply it, but also for people who want to gain leadership experience to get some to train and then interact with the others, and all of these community organizations that you are reading the grant applications from. And I think the other thing that probably happens, and you can tell me if this is true, is that people who think certain organizations do something find out that they do much more, or mm-hmm. that the impact is greater than they originally thought. Is that part of what happens?
Absolutely. It happened to me, and I've been working in the community for years and years before I came to the United Way, but being able to visit these sites, read the grants, and then actually go and see the actual impact that's being had in our community, it opened my eyes to how great the need was and how much amazing work is being done here in Kenosha to care for our underserved community members.
Mm-hmm. And we've been referring to Kenosha and to the Kenosha Unified School District. There are other communities in the county, so are they included in all of these things? Maybe this is a Carolyn question, but you know, like we've talked about this, it's anyone in Kenosha County, right?
Correct. So United Way, we're United Way of Kenosha County, and so we serve every resident in Kenosha County, the entire county. Mm-hmm. The only caveat to that would be our Dolly Parton's Imagination Library, which serves only certain zip codes.
Oh, okay. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, so we only, believe it or not, we're down to only having 8 minutes left here. So I want to make sure that we talk a little bit about the coat drive. So Carolyn, it's your turn. Tell us what's happening with this and how people can get involved.
Sure. So this is brand new for us. We're very excited to be partnering with the Kenosha YMCA and the Kenosha Unified School District on Every Child Warm in the Winter. It's a cold weather drive to support the 400 plus students at Frank Elementary School. Kenosha YMCA has been running the Frank Neighborhood Project at that school for several years now. It's been very successful, continues to grow and make a great impact. And through conversations I was having with Superintendent Dr. Weiss, he highlighted this need, and I reached out to the Y, and we've been partnering with them ever since on this project. So we're looking for new or gently used hats, gloves, scarves, mittens, coats, boots, snow pants, you name it, for particularly for kiddos in kindergarten through fifth grade. So for those folks that maybe have older children that have grown out of some clothes, or grandchildren that are around and might be able to snag some of those items, we would love to get them in our office or at the Y or at the Kenosha Educational Service Center, Support Center, by next week, Friday. Okay. United Way here in Kenosha, we're right downtown. Most people are familiar with the Jockey Building on the corner of 55th and 6th, right in downtown Kenosha. Our address is 5500 6th Avenue, and we're in Suite 210. We're open on Mondays through Friday, taking items from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m. So if you just come here, there's a little buzzer, you press it, it's right by the door. Someone will open the door for you and bring them on up. We also have Kenosha Y, if you just want to stop by their facility, that's out by Indian Trail High School, as well as the Kenosha Unified School District Support Center, which is on 52nd Street. They're open from 7:30 to 4:30 Monday through Friday.
Right, and you know, the used thing, that is real, because kids, I remember one year my son went through like three different sizes of shoes, so you don't even have time to wear them out before they grow out of them, so might as well hand them back to some kids who can really use them. So that's a great option, and I bet a lot of people will participate in that one, so we're really grateful for that. So I have a quick thing that I want to ask everyone. First, I want to ask Carolyn about giving opportunities. So what are some ways, maybe people don't feel like they have the time to volunteer, or maybe they're snowbirds and they go away for the warm months, or the cold months, to a warmer place. So perhaps the best way for some people to contribute is just through giving actual money. So what are the different ways that that can be done?
Yeah, so we receive individual gifts from a variety of sources. We have our website, KenoshaUnitedWay.org/donate. Takes you directly online to be able to make a donation. You can make a one-time donation. You can have a monthly recurring donation. We also accept checks as a form of payment as well. And a lot of people like to write checks for their donations, mailing that right to our office here, or if you want, once again, dropping it off at our office as well. We're also very fortunate to have many corporate sponsors as well, and organizations that run campaigns for United Way. Many people may have been familiar at their workplace, whether they're currently working or they're a retiree, have contributed through a workplace campaign. So we're very, very supportive of that. And all of the programs that we talked about today all have some level of corporate backing, corporate sponsorship, whether it be through the program directly or overall of United Way as a whole.
Okay. And if somebody wanted to give a gift in honor or in memory of someone, or they wanted to do some kind of bequest or semi-annual giving plan, they can contact you about those things as well?
Yes, most definitely. I know we mentioned earlier the phone number, call 262-658-4104. You can email us at info@kenoshaunitedway.org. Most definitely, in terms of gifts in honor or in memory, on our website, there, when you're filling out the form, there is a note section for the donor. So if they want to direct to either one, make the gift in honor or memory of someone, you can just write that right in there. Or if they want to make the donation specifically for one of the programs mentioned here today, or any of our our programs, or just to our general impact fund, you can put that right in the note section there, and we'll make sure that that donation goes specifically towards what the donor intends.
Well, that's great. Okay, we have 2 minutes left. I always ask at the end of the program, can you give us a quick success story that would inspire people? So who wants to go first? Sierra?
Sure, I can go first. I'll try to tighten this up as quick as I can. So I have something else planned, but I think I'm going to tell a little bit of my own story. So before I even got to United Way of Kenosha County and I was working at CAFASI, I went along with the executive director there, Ronald Tatum. He took me on a surprise visit to visit his tutor last year. And I fell in love with the program. I was like, what is this? What do you mean people come and read to little kids? This is the cutest thing ever. And so from then point on, it wasn't his student. It was our student because I wanted to come every week to see her progress. And then as I transitioned over to United Way, I actually had that same student that I was going with Ronald with last year. And I have seen her progress so much just from the summer and starting over again. She's jumped a couple of levels. She's in a new pocket folder. She's reading well. I truly look forward to meeting with her. It's the highlight of my week. Every Tuesday at 9:30, I have her penciled into my calendar, and I can't tell you how this is echoed through so many volunteers. They send me emails. I have emails every day saying, Sierra, this is just so great. I love the program. The coordinators are awesome. My kid leveled up in a pocket folder level today, and I'm just so excited to see them grow. They're learning more. Their books are getting old. We need more books because they're just crushing it, and that's the goal. That's the whole heart of Readers Are Leaders, is to see our kids get a love for reading and to see their literacy grow. So yeah, it takes a village. I'll leave it with this. One of my tutors this year shared a lot about a couple of the students that he has, and he mentioned in the note of gratitude that he said, the more that I give, the more that I get. And I 100% back that. You give just 30 minutes once a week and you get so much more from that.
Okay, well, that is very inspiring, and I'm sorry to say that that means that our time is up, but I really enjoyed talking with all of you. My thanks to our guests, Carolyn Friesch, the CEO of United Way of Kenosha County, Javon Clausen, and Sierra Dlamini, who are staff members there. Please go and check out their website and also sign up for something. Why not, right? You've been listening to WGTD HDFM. I'm your host, Karen Sconzert. This is Education Matters. This discussion of New Year community giving opportunities through the United Way of Kenosha County is archived at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page. You're invited to listen again, or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion there. Thank you all.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard Saturday mornings at 10:30 here on WGTD. Archive programs are available on our website at WGTD.org. Support for WGTD's local news and public affairs commitment comes from Casey Family Options, a tradition of trust. For more information, including how to get started and pre-planning, visit CaseyFamilyOptions.com or call 262-653-0667.
I'm Gregory Berg. And we're going to spend part of Monday's morning show here on WGTD remembering the life and legacy of a great icon of American television, Rod Serling. the creator of several different series, including The Twilight Zone. His daughter, Anne Serling, has written a lovely and illuminating book, which is titled As I Knew Him, My Dad, Rod Serling. Join us for Monday's morning show beginning just after 8.
This is WGTDHD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that focuses on the concerns in the Tri-County area. It's hosted by Jane Harris.